Welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly.
Well, today we're going to recap the Bomarito 500. We also have a lovely interview with our rookie of the year, who put up a wonderful showing in St. Louis. I'm very sad that I wasn't there with her and Molly, but I'm glad that she represented well.
She really did. She hung on all weekend, so definitely excited for that.
Good for her. And then, of course, our host favorite,
Shit We Didn't Make Up.
Then the silly season.
Because shit is still going down, my God.
Oh, there's so much movement and crazy stuff happening.
I'm excited.
And then I'm a little preview of the Indy GP at the Glen.
Yeah, Watkins Glen. Wasps unite in upstate New York.
All right, so the Bomarito.
You want to talk about you? Did you watch Quals?
I did watch Quals.
Okay, you want to touch on a bit what you saw, because we were listening to it on our drive.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I actually did watch them. So Will Power set a new track record.
It's a new track record.
New track record. And his car was just fucking fast.
Yeah.
I mean, Newgarden held that pole for a little bit, and then Will just took it away.
He said, not today, son.
Not today. Not for you, youngin'. Quals was very exciting to watch.
Yeah.
There were not... I don't know. Some drivers didn't do as well as I thought they should have. And I did find it funny when they were asking Marco about his, if he was concerned about Quals, and he said that Quals is just a practice for tomorrow, so we're going to be in race day trim. And I'm like, well, then you're not going to qualify very high, because qualifying trim and race day trim are completely different on ovals.
Ugh.
So, yeah, I was like,
dumbass.
A, you either don't know what you're talking about, or B, you have a horrible strategy.
Or C, he's a dumbass.
Well... yeah, I mean, I was trying to just say that nicely with A, but yeah, I'm like, basically, you're an idiot. You're wrong.
Oh, by the way, I definitely saw him in person on Saturday.
I got your picture.
No, in real life person.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he was driving by in his scooter, and I happened to be with Doug, and we both just kind of stopped what we were doing and looked at each other and started laughing.
Had you just been talking about him? Was it like Beetlejuice, where you'd said his name too many times and he appeared?
Probably. You know, we always throw shade about Marco when we're all together.
Absolutely. Which I saw you met up with the Indie Camping guys again.
I did. Good God. I think we looked at our thing and we did like 20,000 steps over Saturday. We met up with them and a bunch of other people who run podcasts. So always
nice.
A good time. Always a good time with those camping boys. You know, they're crazy.
They are crazy,
but
they're all kind of crazy, so we like them.
And they missed you, so I said, well, don't miss her too much, because she's, you know, in Florida getting ready for a cruise.
Although it rained all day yesterday and, like, half the day today, so we were like, well, good thing we got to Florida early so we could spend time in our hotel room and not at the beach. Yeah, we did get up and go to the beach early this morning. But
that's good.
After I got woken up by a bunch of group messages.
The worst.
The worst. I've never used the middle finger emoji so flagrantly in my life. And I apologize later for being salty, but I did not apologize for my middle finger usage because I still feel it was justified.
I mean, group messages are the devil.
They are the devil.
Yeah.
And I'm in so many of them because there are some members of my family that are obsessed with them. And I'm in all of these groups. And so, yeah, I mean, I can't keep it straight. And whatever group it is, like, there could be 17 people in a group.
Yeah.
And if you want to do, like, a factorial of 17, like, how many different groups you can make up within those 17
That's a lot.
Yeah. There would be equally, like, a subsection of every group as well. Like, if there's four people, there's not just the four, then there's an arrangement of each of the three, three of the four, but every possibility. And frankly, I don't want to be in any of them.
No. Nobody wants to be in the group text. Sadists do.
Not on a Sunday on vacation, I'll tell you that.
No, never.
No, definitely not. So, but Quals were exciting.
Yeah,
I was excited to see Bourdais.
I know.
Because this was his first race back since his big crash. He was not as quick as I thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
And on the track, I mean, he looked good, but then when his time came up, it wasn't as quick as I thought it was going to be.
So he was just technically good. Maybe he just wasn't putting it down as much as he should have.
Yeah, and they talked about that a lot during the race as well, the announcers, about, you know, maybe he was, you know, still kind of easing his way in. Yeah. And the only real complaint he had, because they asked him, you know, if his hip was bothering and all that, and he said that his neck was bothering him.
Huh.
And so Townsend Bell and Paul Tracy were talking about, you know, with the amount of G-force, when you do an oval, your head is constantly getting pulled one direction.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You have to, and so you have to, you know, combat that. So, like, one side of your neck will get, like, a severe workout. And there's nothing that you can really do to build that strength up. Like, the only thing you can do is to be in the car and have the G-forces as those muscles build up. You know, kind of like there's nothing else you can do to prepare for running a marathon other than running.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, I mean, you could swim all day, every day. That's not going to prepare you to run a marathon.
Yeah.
Even though you're using the same muscles, it's not the same. So I think that might have played a part into his race performance, just kind of that general fatigue when you've been out of something for so long. But yeah. He said his hip was good, so that's a good thing.
That's always good, and it was great to see him there. I'll say that much.
It was.
So, all right.
It was, and Dale Coyne, because he's with Dale Coyne Racing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dale Coyne was very excited. They did an interview with him, and he was just very complimentary and excited to have Sebastian back. And, yeah.
Yeah.
And he told him this, and I thought this was funny. He said, you know, when they first went to the hospital after his crash at Indy during quals, that the surgeon said to him, you know, you're definitely out for the next year. He goes, and Sebastian was having no part of that. He said, I don't think so.
He said, no, sir.
Nope.
Yeah.
I was like, good for you.
Yeah. Well, he was, what, they were talking about him maybe coming back for Sonoma. Then it was like, no, he'll be here for Watkins Glen. And all of a sudden it's like, well, he's going to be back for Bomarito.
Yeah.
So that was exciting.
Good for him. It was exciting.
Good for him.
Yeah, good to see him back in a car.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh.
So, yeah.
You know, Quals were excited. We had to listen to it on the drive. So it was fun to listen to, but I couldn't get, like, the individual drivers to pull up on my phone and the app at that point. So we just listened.
Yeah.
It was just IndyCar radio, which is fine, but I kind of wanted to hear what the drivers were saying.
I know, not quite as exciting.
No.
Yeah, I don't think that I heard any in-car communication in mine.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, it was just kind of a pretty straightforward qual session.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody.
It was, and it went pretty quickly as well.
Yeah, I mean, nobody had any issues, no crashes, you know, not like what happened at the race.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, so let's go right in. Well, actually, so they did a pit stop challenge, which I love.
Yeah, did they show that on the TV or the anything?
You know what? I didn't attempt to watch.
Okay.
So I don't know if they showed it or not. But I do love that they did it just because, as far as I know, the Indy 500 is the only track or is the only race in IndyCar that does that.
I think they did one earlier this year besides the 500. I think they're starting to do these more.
Well, I love it. I think it's just another fun thing to get the fans into it and also to showcase, you know, the other members of the team, because it's not just the driver. I mean, the drivers contribute a hell of a lot, obviously.
Yeah.
But there are so many, you know, different people that play a huge part in their success. And the pit team, I mean, I know we joke about it, but they can make or break your race.
they can.
I'm not saying races are won or lost in the pits, per se.
But it's
a
factor.
But I think if you have consistently bad pits, that there's a point where you cannot come back from that no matter how fast your car is or how good of a driver you are.
I mean, and I know that, you know, we do joke about it, but there was some pit issues at this race that cost leaderships, you know.
Absolutely.
So
I know Alia was quite salty about his last pit, and he thinks that's what cost him the race.
I mean, Newgarden even got held a little bit longer at one pit.
He did, and I know you said that it was so loud you guys couldn't hear announcers or anything.
We couldn't hear a damn thing.
So Newgarden actually got held. Well, there were two issues. Number one was they had an issue getting his fuel hose out of the car.
Yeah.
The fuel guy went to pull on it and it didn't come out. So then he really had to, like, manhandle it out of there. But then his front right tire, which is the guy that gives you the go.
Yeah.
Held him for maybe a second for traffic.
Okay.
Because pit lane is at Bomarito is so narrow.
Yeah,
and so he held him for traffic. And they, Paul Tracy and Townsend Bell were just going back and forth on whether that was the right move, blah, blah, blah. So, but yeah, because the pit lane was so narrow.
It was, you know, so narrow.
It was so narrow. And so they wanted to you know, prevent him from coming out straight into traffic. And so Townsend Bell and Paul Tracy were going back and forth about whether they thought it was legitimate to hold him, you know, for that extra second, because that was his slowest hit, and that is what cost him the lead when Aleo took over. And even with them holding him for an extra second, when he came out, it's still, I mean, he just barely missed colliding with somebody. I didn't feel like his car was out of control by any means, but it was just that that margin of error was so small that when they watched it again, they were like, oh no, that that team made the right choice in holding back, because had they not, he definitely would have collided.
I mean, when we were watching, so the pit stop challenge here, which is different from IMS, so they put, well, let's see, they did a lap, put tires on, they did a lap, and then I think they had to change the tires three times, and then the drivers had to lap, which was kind of exciting then, because there's additional movement, but watching them come in and out of the pit boxes into traffic, I mean, even during the competition, I was like, my God, we're going to lose somebody before the race even starts.
Now, do they have the whole field go at once for that challenge?
No, they did half and half.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting, because at the Indy 500, they just do two at a time.
Yeah. I mean, it was...
And it's like a March Madness bracket style.
Yeah, this one, they did one group and whoever's fast. So they just timed everybody, but they ran it in two groups.
Gotcha.
Which, I mean, it was really exciting. It really did take the crowd level up a whole, like a whole nother level, just to watch this. Because everybody, like, you started to get into the race. You started to, like, even the people who probably were there who didn't know were like, all right, I'm going to cheer for that one and that one, and probably carried on through the race who they were cheering with.
Yeah.
So.
That's awesome. Well, I know my sister always says that's her favorite part of Carb Day.
Yeah.
During the month of May. And it is exciting because you obviously realize, you know, that these fits are going on, you're watching it, but when that's the only thing that you're watching is just them getting in and out of the pit and changing tires, I mean, it just insanely fast.
Yeah, I mean, you just, to watch them, I mean, we were right across from Newgarden's pit, and his guys, like, dove onto the ground with tires, and I was like, my God, that's insane.
Yeah. I mean, they move so fast. It's like they have superhuman speed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like the Flash.
Exactly.
Exactly like the Flash.
Just like the Flash.
So, but yeah, it was pretty wild.
It was wild. And then the opening of the race was really cool. I know they were really trying to get everybody hyped up because, you know, it's their first race. They ended up going three wide for a whole lap.
I saw that.
Did you?
Like,
oh, good.
Homage to the Indy 500.
Yeah, it was so great to see them go three wide, and then they had all of these fireworks go off in the back stretch, and I thought again about, man, we should really have fireworks.
We really should have fireworks.
Because they did a whole firework, like, from the parade laps, and then at the end there were fireworks.
That's awesome.
I know how we feel about fireworks, and I was like, I want fireworks at IMS. Come on.
Right.
So it was very nice. It really got everybody on their feet for the first two laps.
That's awesome.
You know.
Well, I did hear that there was a lot of confusion in the driver's meeting because that three wide decision was made on race day.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
No.
Oh, wow.
And so there was a lot of guys, since the race was technically going to be too wide, that they were like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, like, my God.
What are we doing? How are we going to do this? And why? Like, we're going to go three wide per lap, and then we have to go back to two wide. Like, they were like, what is this fuckery?
And, like, look, that's a lot of math right there.
Right? Well, it's like, okay, who's going to move up and then move back? And
Oh, God.
I mean, I wouldn't have been excited for that if I was a driver.
Yeah, but no, hearing that, now I'm like, no, that's a bad idea.
I mean, it was a cool idea, but yeah, I'm sure it was quite the CF. I mean, based on what I heard secondhand from the driver's meeting, it was... Not everybody was as gung-ho about the idea.
Yeah, I can imagine quite a few of them are like, no, I don't think this is great. We should not do this.
I think that's adorable.
I think that's adorable, but no.
But I wouldn't say that's a great idea.
No, definitely not.
But yeah, but I enjoyed it, you know. Anything that pays homage to the 500,
anyway,
I'm a fan of.
It's exciting when they go three wide. Anytime they go more than two wide, you're just on your feet automatically.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. Well, and I know they questioned going green for the first lap because they thought that there was some debris from the fireworks on the back of the track.
And really?
So I would say fireworks before a race, probably a bad idea.
Yeah.
But then they decided to go ahead and go with the green. So there was a lot of confusion there as well. And I think that contributed to Kanaan backing it into the wall on the first turn, because they were telling everybody, you know, like, hold off. They're not going to go green. Because they thought they were going to have to come out and clean up the track. And then they were like, JK, going green. And
then they were like, green.
Yeah. And so it's like he hadn't really been, you know, he was expecting to have a couple more caution laps. And so he hadn't really, you know, been warm up the tires quite as much and just, you know, hadn't upped his throttle like he should have. And so then he, like, really hit it. And so they think that he just hit it too hard and it, you know, got away from him. That was the contributing factor to that, because he's been racing too long to crash on lap one.
I mean, that happened. And I literally went, what the shit did he do? Like, really?
Right.
Really? No. No, Tony.
So yeah, so that's the backstory on what happened there, which makes sense now.
Now that I hear it, I feel a little bit better, because I was definitely like, I don't even know what's going on. Like, at that point...
Like, after he just made this big announcement that he has no intention to retire, and it's like, and then you crash on lap one, get it together, Tony.
Well, and because his car and Dixon's car were identical... And that's who Adi had picked for first out, and I had picked Tony for first out. We both just turned and looked at each other like, what the shit did we just do?
Right.
And then for a moment I thought, I might get all my picks today.
I know, which we have to discuss. So first out, is that first crash or first out of the race?
I think it meant...
Because we haven't really had to define one way or the other.
I always just thought it meant who wasn't, like, first out. Like, they're not racing anymore.
Okay, I mean, because but I'm happy to still give you your points, because we had not defined that, and so since he was the first one that crashed,
we could do first crash. Back in the race,
I will allow points for you for that.
Well, look at me. But, now I have 2 points.
Yeah, I know. I was like swearing up a storm, and I was like, "Damn it!" I was like, "This is the second week in a row Molly's going to beat me on points."
Well, that's all right. So did Audie, but hers are just rookie points, so it doesn't count.
No.
Which
rookie points definitely do not count.
They do not count. So, by the way, Tony also, so he caused the yellow, so he had to obviously enter his pit box. He got penalized for entering a closed pit.
What?
Yeah. I pulled up the box score to see, you know, who did what so I can make everything through. Yeah, he got penalized for entering a closed pit on a yellow that he initiated. What the shit, race control.
I mean, what else was he supposed to do?
Just hang out?
Where's he supposed to go? His car wasn't drivable.
Where were they going to? I think he did. Didn't he drive it around?
Well, if he could drive it, then yeah, he should be penalized.
Okay, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, where
there are exceptions that can be made to the closed pit rule, but you have to have prior approval from race control. So if the car was drivable, photographic memory.
I know. I'm just trying to imagine a moment where you're going to have prior authorization for race control for entering a closed pit.
Well, if he had been driving around and he messaged them or radioed them and said, hey, I really need to come in and get worked out of my car, it's not safe to drive, then they probably would have examined his car, and then they would have made a judgment call like, no, it's not safe to drive around another lap, or yes, it is, suck it up, you can go back in on green like everybody else.
I know, but I feel like if you're the one who hit the wall in a crash, you should be able to be like, I'm just going to go into my pit, and race control be like, that's a great idea, let's get your potentially damaged car off the track.
Except that, depending on what all's wrong with it, if he goes into a pit on a yellow, and then he comes out at the back of the pack, he can catch up and will not be penalized with being laps down and as much of a time difference when the rest of the field's on a yellow. Whereas if it's on a green, then he reaps what he sows as far as causing that accident. He's going to be down a lot more time and laps.
Yeah. Well, they put him at the back of the pack, which he was going to be at the back of the pack anyway.
Yeah. They put RHR at the back of the pack, too, at one point. Or was it Ray Hall? It was Ray Hall.
It was Ray Hall, because he had that fuel. He, like, peeled off of the fuel line.
Yes, because he left with part of the hose still in his car, which is strictly against the safety rules that we just reviewed last week. As soon as they said he just drove out and he stuck on that hose, I was like, he's getting penalized.
You're like, nope, flag him.
I was like, I can tell you that right now.
Let me get my rules.
Penalized.
Yeah,
I was like, that's a safety violation. And that's what they came over and said. They were like, that's a safety violation. I was like, yes.
Yes, it is. We looked at it.
I had Lady Wood for the OCD safety violation on that.
The fact that we memorized the rules. That's okay.
Right.
We're fine. So TK crashed.
We don't have many hobbies.
No, this is really our only hobby.
This is it.
This is it, people.
We knit occasionally. Also, we can make you a stellar scarf for the winter.
Yeah, that's about it. Ooh. Ooh, we should do black and white scarves.
Oh my god, we're so doing black and white check scarves.
Anyway. Yeah, so TK crashed. They went to yellow. They went back to green. And I swear to god, it was... They had just waved green and that huge crash happened.
Oh my gosh.
Which, that was a scary crash.
Oh, it was so scary.
Watching...
Oh my gosh.
When Ed's car started to go up Will's car, I was like, oh no, nope. I don't want to be here anymore.
No, I'm so glad that Will, like, popped out of the car and was able to walk and,
yeah,
and all that. Because, I mean, sometimes the crashes like that can end very, very badly for the drivers. Yeah. I mean, obviously Will was out of the race from then on, but... You know, it's like being out of the race is nothing compared to, you know,
hurt.
Losing your life.
Yeah. Yeah. It was insane.
Oh, my gosh. It was insane.
Yeah.
And they just collected Sato in that mess as well.
I know.
Poor Sato. He gets collected so many times.
He's just hanging
Somebody
out.
Somebody honked. Maybe they're ready for shit we didn't make
just,
up.
I just, I'm shit we didn't make. No, that wasn't me. I didn't honk.
No, somebody out here did.
It's a fan.
I think so.
I'm going to say it was.
Right. I'm sitting out in front of the hotel right now because I wanted to smoke. And I was like, nah, it's nice. I want to be outside.
Yeah.
So the people that are walking in are looking at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah, I'm taping a podcast. Excuse me.
Right. Excuse me.
I'm very important.
Right. Please subscribe. but yeah, they collected Sato as well. He got screwed in that mess.
Ugh, poor Sato.
Poor Sato.
Well, actually, poor Ed. Poor Ed Carpenter Racing.
Seriously, it has been just not a good season for Ed Carpenter Racing. And he said that in his interview. You know, they were like, he was just like, you know, we have not had the season I wanted to have.
No.
He was like, it's very disappointing. It's, you know, blah, blah. And I mean, he didn't like put blame on anybody or anything. He was just like, you know, it's just been not our best season and it's disappointing. And he said, I'm really glad that we have, you know, Fuzzy's Vodka who supports us and is continuing to support us, blah, blah. And he said, 2018 cannot come fast enough.
He reminds me of that, you know, like, 2018 will be our season.
Right.
2018 was, in fact, not their season.
Right. 2017 is going to be our season. 2017 was, in fact, not anyone's season.
I mean, his car, and then JR's car, because something broke on it, so he hit turn four.
Yeah, something broke on his car, and he had no ability to steer and just... Straight
hit
the wall.
And then, you know, Piggott's been crashing a couple of times. And
I mean, bottom line is, Ed's kids are going to have to go to public school.
Maybe
start
only
start filing for FAFSA now for college.
Yep. Everybody's grounded at Ed Carpenter Racing. Everybody's grounded.
Everybody's grounded.
Everybody has to go sit in the timeout corners.
And think about this season. I'll be interested to see with as poor of a season that they have had.
Yeah.
Because I know Ed is one of those that he likes to, you know, get a driver, stick with them, and kind of build them up.
Mm-hmm.
But he said he doesn't want to be a farm team. You know, it's like how the Indianapolis Indians are the farm team for the Pittsburgh Pirates, you know?
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be a second-rate team,
right.
You know? Like, he doesn't want to continue to bring
Have
up drivers
gardens.
Like Joseph Newgarden
yeah.
and then go off to Penske or Andretti or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, he wants to be a great team. But I see him as that, you know, that leader and that race team owner that, you know, wants to really build and mold and coach
mm-hmm.
younger drivers into being great drivers.
Yeah.
But with the season that they've had, I will be very shocked if he keeps both Hildebrand and Piggott.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
he might keep Hildebrand, just because Hildebrand does both ovals and road courses.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, although, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that you can find that many drivers that only want to do road courses, because then you're guaranteed to never win a championship.
Well, I mean, and this is kind of something I put later on, you know, in the silly season talk, but I will tell you, a lot of people this weekend were talking about Ed Carpenter needs to step back from driving and just be an owner. And
I mean,
bump up Piggott, and if Ed wants to run the 500, put that third car in. I heard that multiple times.
Or maybe for a couple of the big ovals, you know, if you want to run the Iowa 300,
yeah.
knock yourself out. You know, if you want to run Pocono, Pocono was a road course.
No, Pocono's a tricky triangle.
No, Pocono's an oval. Yeah, it was an, that's right. It was the, yeah, the tricky triangle. Yeah, it's like, if you want to run these bigger, you know, the super speedways, you know, a couple of them in addition to the Indy 500, knock yourself out. But yeah, I don't think that it's sustainable to have, you know, an oval driver and a road course driver on a team. I just don't think that that is a good business model.
No, I get it. I think a lot of it's ego. It's male ego, let's call it. But Ed, I think maybe it is time. You know,
and I'm not saying that Ed's not good on ovals, because I think that he is. I think that they've had a shitty season.
Yeah, they've had a horrible season.
And I think that there's a lot of reasons for that. But I don't think that Ed has had, it's not been a lot of driver error.
Yeah.
There's been other, you know, if it was a lot of driver error, then I would say definitely Ed should step back.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think some of it is ego, and I think some of it is also just passion. Yeah. I think that he really loves racing. And for me,
wouldn't you if you grew up in that family?
What now?
You would too if you grew up in that family. I mean, we do, but think about where he grew up.
Well, absolutely. I mean, he grew up in the Holman George family.
Yeah.
And, you know, he grew up in the split of IRL and CART, and so IRL just did ovals, and so he grew up only doing ovals.
Yeah.
And so I understand, you know, that that's where his training is and all that, but I will say, you know, in defense of Ed, on my part, if I were, you know, running an organization or something like that, and I knew that I could do something better than somebody else, it would be very hard for me to just coach them and watch them make mistakes that I know that I wouldn't make.
Oh, yeah, 100%. That was probably the most frustrating thing ever. And I bet it is for him. I bet it is.
And so I think that, you know, maybe he would quit once he has a driver that can drive ovals more efficiently than he can.
And I don't think we've seen Spencer on an oval yet.
No.
Well,
I'd be curious if he wanted to step into road courses, but in that case, he'd probably want to bring somebody else on to help manage the team, because I don't think you can run a full season and manage a team.
Yeah. Do you recall how he did on the 500, Spencer?
Don't recall, but I can look it up real quick.
Now, you're on your phone. I'm on my computer.
Spencer Pigott. He placed 18th.
That's not bad.
He placed 18th. Pippa was 17th. JR was 16th. And then Ed was 11th.
Okay.
Spencer placed 18th and Newgarden placed 19th. So
there you go. I mean, maybe it's Spencer. I mean, but he only has done the 500. So I'd like to see him do maybe a couple of ovals next year and see how he does. I think that's, if he's the one to bring up, Ed's already kind of tapped him right now for road courses. So let's see what he can do on ovals maybe.
Yeah. Although I'm not a huge Spencer Pigott fan. So
I'm really ambivalent about Spencer.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really feel one way or the other. Like, I'm not going to shed a single tear if Ed drops him next year. But at the same time, if he keeps him, you know, then I want him to continue to grow and do better as a driver.
Oh, definitely. It's fun to watch those drivers kind of step up and become their own and see their different characteristics. It's fun.
It is. Well, and I was really, like, last night with Newgarden winning, you know, he's still number one of the championships, you know, It's been really fun for me, because I'm like, he is probably the first driver, because this is his sixth season. And so, you know, he's the first driver that I've really, like, been involved with since they were a rookie, as far as, like, following them and being a fan and, like, watching them. And I was like, this is really cool. I was like, this must be how, you know, people felt in the 80s and whatever, in the 80s and 90s with, and even in the 60s, 70s, 80s. With, like, Allinger Jr. and A.J. Foyt and Marco Andretti. You know, it's like you kind of watch them mature as an athlete. And
it's just fun.
It is.
Yeah.
It's cool. I mean, it makes you feel like you're a part of it when you're like, yeah, I've been rooting for this person since they were a rookie. You know, I've been rooting for them since they didn't know shit about shit.
Yeah. No, I get that completely. It's kind of, you know, like, Will is my one driver, but Rossi's two. And, you know, this has been the season I've really been watching him, because I think this is the season where he's really started to kind of come into his own. So I get that. It's fun to watch them grow into this driver and find their characteristics. It's kind of what makes the sport great, I think.
It is. And I'll tell you what people, I think, forget about Rossi is that this is only his second season.
Yeah, it's his second season. People, calm down.
I mean, no, but I feel like people, you know, the expectations that they have for Rossi and all that, I mean, are expectations that you would not typically have for a second-year driver.
I mean,
and I think that that's fine, because I don't think that he is disappointing.
No, no.
I just think that speaks to his level of athleticism with being a race car driver and his focus and control.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it is that he won the 500 last year, which, let's be honest, you ran it coasting on fuel. That was just kind of a convergence of everything. I mean, it's strategy, it's a good driver, but you won it coasting through. Like, that. They're just putting a lot.
Had he not had a decent lead on everybody else, he would not have won, because his speed crossing the finish line was not that fast at all. I can't believe it wasn't slower, considering the big brass balls that he has on the back to turn around in that car.
I mean, and he also had Brian Herta in his ear at that point, so, I mean, that's got to give you some, too.
Oh, yeah, having a good strategist, good engineer, I mean, that makes a huge difference. Yeah, and him being on Team Andretti as a rookie, I mean, I think that definitely played a part in how successful he was his rookie year and how successful he's been this year.
Oh, I 100% agree.
Yeah, I mean, so good on Andretti for recognizing that talent and just snatching him right up.
Yeah. We went around a bit.
He is waiting for.
We're gonna have to set up a GoFundMe. We're setting up Ed Carpenter's GoFundMe account.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just for cars.
Yeah, just for funsies.
The other crash was Max Chilton, and you heard something on the radio between he and what all did you hear with Chilton and Ganassi?
So it wasn't with Chip Ganassi in particular. It was with whoever's in Chilton's ear. Basically, you know, he was like, we can still get out there and finish. And they were like, no, just bring it in, we're done. And this was after they'd already told Tony to come in.
Yeah, that was weird too.
Yeah, because there wasn't anything wrong with his car.
Yeah.
Right? I had some technical issues during that point and came back in. And Tony refused to give an interview because he was, I mean, so hot.
Yeah.
But, like, he would not give an interview. He just said, talk to my employer. And Chip Ganassi refused to give an interview.
Yeah.
And this is not a team that typically does that. They typically, you know, are like, we're going to, you know, do the best we can, see what we can do, see what we can make, you know, what we can make happen, et cetera, et cetera. And that was not the case last night. So, yeah, so they pulled Kanaan, which I think he was a couple laps back and made those up. But, you know, you still get points for finishing. And then Max Chilton, they told him, they were like, you know, pulled in. He's like, we can still finish, whatever, da-da-da. And they were like, you're already a couple laps behind. It's not worth it, da-da-da. And he was pissed.
Yeah.
And he was like, this is ridiculous. He was like, why am I coming back in? And they were like, just bring the car back in. And he was like, no. He was like, we can still learn things. He's like, I don't understand why when we have the best car, he goes, I don't understand when I'm driving the best car that I've had all season and I finally have a feel for this course and I can still learn and we can still learn as a team, why you're pulling me in. I do not understand. And they were like, yeah, we just need to bring the car in. He goes, so we're just a team of quitters now. Oh, that's what we are.
That's so heartbreaking to hear him say all that. My goodness. Now I feel bad for Max.
I felt bad for him.
I do too.
Okay, like, I was a swimmer, and I was never a sprinter. I was always a distance swimmer, but I didn't get that many first places. I would do, like, the super long distance events, like the 1500 meter in the year-round season. And you know, like, I knew I was never going to win. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of the other people in my heat would be out of the pool by the time I finished. Like, there might be one or two other swimmers out of eight that were still in there with me, but most everybody else would be done and out of the water, like drying off.
Right.
It's not like when the first person places that I just stopped. Like, no, I'm still working on bettering myself. I'm working on bettering my technique, bettering my breathing, improving my flip turns, et cetera, working on my pace. You know, it's like there's always something that you can learn, even if you're gonna finish last.
Yeah.
There's still something that can be learned and gained.
Yeah.
So, and I'll tell you what, I'd have been shitty as hell.
I would have too.
If my coach would have like tapped me and been like, "All right, get out. The race is over." Like, the fuck it is. I'm not done yet.
Right. Like that. Ugh. Good on. You know what? Good on Max for kind of pushing back a bit, saying like, "Why are you doing this? We should still go." Ugh.
Yeah, and he was like, "I can still learn from this. Like, we have things we can still learn. We have things we can still improve upon. Blah blah blah." But the rumor is that Chip Ganassi is not bringing Chilton back next year either.
Wow.
And so, I almost wonder, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. Sure. You know, we make up a lot of shit. But it almost seems like a strategic move to screw the two of them, because their championship standings, they won't get any points for finishing that race because they didn't. And so when they are looking for other contracts next year, it's going to screw the both of them.
Well, and it's another reason you can point to when they cut them and say, look, they didn't do well this last season. Oh, wow.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, if you want to say, oh, well, you know, why would we give you this much money when you didn't, you know, when you only earned X number of points in the championship? It's like, well, I would have earned more, but yeah,
you kept
my
me
employer
out.
Just, you know, maybe quit a race. Like, yeah. I didn't even get to finish. So, I don't know if that is the case or not. I think it's right. sad if it is.
I think it's horrible.
I think it's petty as hell if that's
sure.
the case.
Sure.
Like, Chip Ganassi, if that's what you're doing, get over yourself.
Yeah, GTFO. Like, if that's how you're going to run a team, get out. Anyway.
Well, and, like, you're going to keep Bennett. You're gonna take them out, but you're going to keep Kimball in.
Yeah, thank you.
Kimball, who, to quote Doug, like, if they cared about safety, they wouldn't let Kimball drive. I mean, and I don't know how. I mean, I'm sure we were going to get into that.
Yeah, this is it. Connor was up next on the sheet, so let's go.
But the defensive blocking, and they played.
I watched that.
Did you watch it?
I was able to watch it.
Flipped shit, and good for him.
They didn't play what Connor flipped shit on, but I was able to catch it because it was hard where we're sitting to see we could see everything, but rewatching it on the TV, I was like, the fuck, that's defending his line. The fuck, that's defending his line.
No,
I was mad.
He didn't come down, like, it wasn't like, oh, I came down late. He swerved.
Okay. Yeah, there was, yeah, it was
no,
so
that's
swerving.
Not defending. That is blocking. And
that's
Connor,
blocking.
I mean, he came over the radio and he screamed. I mean, I tweeted it.
Yeah.
And he was like, what was that? He was like, defensive blocking. He's an idiot. Or he was like, what is he doing? But yeah, and then at the end he was like, he's an idiot.
I mean,
I'll tell you what, I will give it up to Connor because they came back over the radio and they told him that there would be no action taken by race control. And he was just like, okay.
And then he decided to take it himself.
Right? Oh my gosh. And then I'll tell you what, he drove the shit out of his car.
He drove the shit out of his car.
Oh, him getting mad was the best thing that could have ever happened to him. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. That race. So after the restart where he passed, by the way, he passed. People don't realize this. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. But he passed Hinch and Rossi to get into that fifth position.
Yeah, he did. And he almost passed Elio on multiple occasions.
Yeah, he was chasing down Elio Castroneves on a flipping oval. Okay.
On an oval. I mean, that's Elio's specialty.
And right?
I mean, we've been saying it. We said it last year. We said it this year that Connor is an excellent driver with excellent instincts.
Yes.
And like Mid-Ohio, the pieces came together with his car this time.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he didn't start out strong, but like that second half of the race, he came to win. And I'll tell you what, had that race been another 20 or 30 laps, mm-hmm. I think he would have had a podium.
Oh, definitely. I mean, he was chasing down Elio, and those last 20 laps, I was on my feet every time watching him. And that first, because he kept trying on turn one, and I was like so close, like five different times.
Oh. So close. But I mean, but Ailey was a very experienced driver.
Right.
And knows how to defend his line.
Yeah.
Not blocking.
No.
Ailey is very skilled in defending his line because, I mean, that's what he does on ovals.
Right.
If he can't get that lead and get out there,
then you're not passing him. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, he drove the shit out of that race.
Oh, yeah, he did. And even in his post-race interview, when they asked him about the Charlie Kimball thing, you know, he even said, you know, I'm not going to say anything bad about Kimball.
Yeah.
He was like, that's not who I am, da-da-da. He was like, I tried to get in front of him. I wasn't able to. Race control made their ruling. He's like, and that's that.
Yeah. But he was so giddy also in that post-race interview. You could just tell he was so happy to have that fifth place. And I was like, good on you, Connor. I'm excited to see that.
Oh, I was so excited.
Because
I actually was, I was told that that his family members that were watching, some of them actually cried at the end because they were so excited.
Yeah.
Just screaming and tears and, you know, that it was as exciting as if he'd actually won, you know, because it was the best finish that he's ever had in an IndyCar race.
Yeah. Well, I think he did really well in Watkins. Yeah, Watkins Glen last year, he came in fourth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it must be his best finish oval.
Yeah, and his best finish this year, and it was, he drove fantastically this year. Like, he should not be, and he's not, but he should not be unashamed of that race at all.
Oh, not at all.
I mean, and just like
just
like you said, like, this proves, once again, what we have been saying consistently. He is a great driver. He really is. He's a great driver. I mean, I don't know. Part of me says get him on a better funded team or a that Foyt Racing needs to figure it all out.
I know. I know. I don't know what the holdup is. I don't know if it's because they're, I mean, AJ is mostly in Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's where his, I don't know where the team is headquartered, but I know that, you know, AJ Foyt's personal home base is in Texas.
Yeah.
They did interview him a little bit yesterday, and he said that all of his family was safe and everything with the hurricane, and they'll have to assess the damage at one of their homes, but I think they have two places in Texas. Now
sure.
I think they have like 12 or anything.
No, but I mean, I'm sure they have at least two houses.
At least two, yeah.
Come on.
But all of his family and everybody was safe, so that's good to hear.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they can figure this all out, or, I mean, you know, Dad's a Foyt fan, so I hate to see Connor leave Foyt, but if he gets somewhere else that's got a little bit more money behind it, I think we're going to see maybe next year he's going to come out a lot stronger.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're too...
Although, I feel like Foyt has money behind him.
Yeah, they're just a smaller team, so I don't know what's going on.
But, you know, they're not any smaller than Schmidt-Peterson, and
That's true.
You know, Hinch does extremely well. And I feel like, I mean, Hinch has got, you know, he's a little older than Connor, so he's been driving a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as, like, the amount of money and...
True.
And stuff that they have available to them, money and technology, et cetera, I feel like it's pretty comparable.
Yeah, he's just got that haunted car, I guess.
I know it.
Or,
Although, not last night.
No, maybe. Well, I mean, I don't want to say anything, but Audie and I did walk past his car, and she's got that weird voodoo stuff, so.
Oh, did she smudge it?
She didn't smudge it, but she's pretty empathetic, so I was like, maybe she took the haint with her.
Oh, I hope she did.
Oh, now it might be in my car.
It was always in your car.
It's always.
Okay.
Yeah, let's be real. It's always in my car.
In fact, if she brought it to your car, the haint that's already on your car ate it alive.
It went, oh, that's cute. That's adorable.
Let me show you what a haint really is.
We're both vegetarians. Maybe it's because he's gone vegan, yo.
Hey,
you
know, I'm in support of that vegan life.
If it weren't for cheese, I'd be all about it.
I'm telling you, I know, I have such a hard time with the no cheese.
I can drop anything, any other dairy except for cheese.
Yes, that's agreed.
I was just saying,
the rest of that plant-based lifestyle, I'm all about.
Which, all about.
I mean, Connor has been praising left and right and saying that, you know, he feels better.
Mm-hmm.
His sugars have been better under control. I mean, not that they were ever out of control. He is very OCD with his diabetes and
so
taking care of himself as far as that.
He's
with the diabetes.
Hashtag better diabetic.
Oh my gosh. You killed me with your tweet about diabetes on diabetes hate crime.
I think it was somebody else that I had to retweet. I saw that.
I did retweet.
And I was on
hysterical.
I was like, it's a diabetic hate crime.
I was on the floor.
No, but, I mean, that might be it, too. I mean, if you feel better, you do better. So that might also be a part of it. Like, I know a lot of people like to give him shit about it, but... Eh.
Right? Now, let me ask you this, because I had this random thought last night.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the fact that it was a night race played into how well Connor did?
Does he have...
Because think about it. You're typically a morning person.
That's true.
Whereas I am not. And so, you know, let's say... that we picked something that you and I were equal at, you know, not running. Let's say that you and I were equal runners.
Sure.
You know, or equal swimmers or whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Molly's the better runner. I'm the better swimmer. It is what it is.
Yeah, that's fine.
Molly'll save you on land. I'll save you in the water. It evens out. But, like, let's say you and I were equal runners and, you know, we always ran marathons in the morning when you're wide awake and then we ran one. You know, or a race or whatever, and then we ran one at 9 o'clock at night, 9:40 at night.
Yeah,
you're not going to do as well because you're used to getting up at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah, but you know what?
I also wondered if that played a part in how some of the drivers did, just because maybe they can't adjust to a different sleep schedule as easily.
Yeah,
because I know the older I've gotten, it's harder for me to flip back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm working night shift. Like, it's harder for me. I can still do evenings, but, like, doing solid night shift is really, really hard for me now.
Huh, that's interesting.
Whereas when I was in my 20s, it wasn't at all.
Well, I mean, it would be because, like, Phoenix is under the lights. Texas is under the light. Well, Texas was a shit show. We can't even look at Texas.
It was, but I don't feel, like it started at 9:40. I feel like it started earlier, but maybe it didn't.
Texas started, well, I don't think we can hold Texas up to anything this year just because it was the clusterfuck. But I don't know Phoenix's start time because it's in the mountain time zone.
That's true.
So,
but
it may be. It might be.
Yeah.
Huh. I like that idea. I think it carries water. I mean, I say that as a morning person. It would carry water. If I typically get up at 5:30 in the morning and then I've got something like at 9:40 at night, will I take a nap? Yes, but.
But you're not going to be at your best.
But my mental status is like, hey, it's 10 o'clock at night. It's time to go take a nap. Like, you.
Right?
You can't do that. You can't do that when you're driving a car.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because I know for me, you know, once I get on a set schedule, if I have to stay up, you know, later than I'm used to, or like be active and doing things, like my body is not having it.
Yeah. That's a good idea. I like it. But.
Yeah. It's just an interesting thought. I just wondered, you know, if it played a part. I'd like to.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know how we would look into that, but I like that theory.
I'd be curious to ask some drivers how they feel about that.
That's a good question. Nobody can ask that question but us. That's our question. You can't have it.
It's our question. You cannot have it.
No, a trademark TM, Fest Cars, Fest Girls.
I already wrote it down and mailed it to myself, the poor man's patent.
I'm an attorney. You can't take this question.
Right.
I will see
send you a cease and desist.
I will cease and desist the shit out of you. All right. Well, on from Connor's great run to Penske. Oh, Team Penske.
Oh, Team Penske.
Oh, Team Penske. I've watched the Newgarden Pagano pass, the controversial pass, probably 10 times in a row.
I mean, I loved it.
I can't really find fault in it.
I can't either. And Newgarden said, you know, if you leave me space, if you leave me a lane, I'm going to take it.
I mean.
And I think that Pagano really didn't think that he was going to have the stones.
Yeah.
To take it. And so, and I don't think that Pagano was trying to cut him off. I think Pagano was trying to maintain his line, but he left it open for too long.
Yeah.
To the point where he was not able to defend his line. Now, I do think Pagano was 100% correct in the fact that had it been almost any other driver, they would have both ended up in the fence.
Yeah.
And Pagano was hot. He was not happy about it. And he even said in his post-race interview that he didn't have anything nice to say. And so he just wasn't going to say anything at all.
I mean, I will tell you, we stayed for the podium because we didn't want to mess with traffic. And I was like, well, let's just watch because it was just a section over. It might have been the most awkward podium I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, I believe that.
Like, Simon came out and, like, he joked about standing on the first place podium. Then he finally, like, went over to his and, like, it was just stone cold dead inside face for the rest of the podium.
Oh, yeah.
And then it just kind of worked out this way. They, you know, they do the hats, they take the pictures, da-da-da, and then they get to spray champagne.
Yeah.
And Simon's didn't work properly. So
see, that's just shameful because he's from France.
I know. He would know how to do it. So the champagne wouldn't work. And I retweeted that video where somebody put the sound of silence over it, which if you haven't seen it, you need to
I'm
watch.
I'm going to have to look that up. That's hysterical.
I mean, it's on our Twitter. So at Fast Cars, not that you don't know, but for our listeners, at Fast Cars, IN317, that's our Twitter. It's great. So the thing doesn't work. He tries to get it to work, and then he basically, like, tips it up and takes a healthy swing out of that champagne bottle.
He's like, if you're not going to spray, I'm going to use you for what God intended.
He's like, I'm going to drown my sorrows this way. And then,
I mean, I ain't mad at that.
I'm not mad. I mean, Joseph, it's cool. And then he shakes, like, the crew members, and he actively avoids Joseph to the point where Joseph kind of came over to him, and both Adi and I were like, don't do it, Joseph. Don't do it.
He's not ready.
He's not ready. Uh-uh. So, I mean.
He needs to marinate for a little bit.
I mean, maybe Roger needs to hire, like, a marriage counselor or something for these two, because they could be hot. Joseph's not hot, but Simon could be hot going into Watkins Glen.
Oh, I think he's going to be hot, but I think, I mean, they'll work it out.
Yeah.
They're fine. They're adults.
I mean, it's a pissing match. It's really what it is. It's two men in a pissing contest, and.
It is, and
I'll just say what I always say. Joseph, boys, whip it out, measure it, and let's keep moving.
But yeah, it did turn into a pissing contest, and Joseph won. And I also think that, you know, he, with the way that he passed Will at Mid-Ohio.
Yeah.
And with, you know, some of the passes and things that he had in the Poconos.
Mm-hmm.
And with him passing Will at the beginning of this race, and then that hip check that he gave Pagano, which was not intentional.
No. They just kind of bumped.
I really think Pagano expected him to back off, and I think Newgarden...
He expected Pagano to lift.
Well, I think... I don't know what Newgarden expected Pagano to do, but I think Newgarden was tired of people expecting him to back off and not fight for first. I think that's really what it came down to, is that he wanted to let everybody know, you know, I'm not giving up anything without a fight.
Yeah.
I am number one in the championship for a reason, and I came to win. I didn't come to play nice. I came to win.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, I feel like a lot of drivers, I mean, I know Pagano said at some point, you know, that he lost respect for Newgarden, blah, blah, but I'm like, you know, really at the end of the day, I gained respect for him.
Yeah.
Because he didn't cut him off. Pagano left a space wide enough, and if you thought he was going to be timid about it, well, then you obviously haven't been paying attention to your team member for this entire season, because Joseph does not drive timidly.
No, he doesn't.
Had it been reversed, Pagano would have done the same thing.
100%. It was a good move. I mean, it was one of those moves where you're like, this is open wheel racing. When I saw it, I was like, that's exactly what open wheel racing is all about. You leave that
inch. That's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
That good, hard racing that you were just into it. And...
Yeah. You leave an inch and a good driver's going to take it. That's bottom line. Bottom line on that one. So we'll see what happens between the teammates. Hopefully they can, you know, have a mediator or something.
Right. Well, I also enjoy about Penske Racing that he lets his drivers be as competitive with one another as they are with everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, they're all on the team, and obviously they all, you know, want a Penske win. They want a Penske championship win and all that business. But at the same time, you know, Penske's never going to tell one of his drivers to take it easy on one of the other drivers.
No, he'll just tell Elliot to stop throwing helmets.
Well... I think he tried that, and that's why they now have the fake helmets.
Which I want to just point out that, again, at the driver introductions, when they introduced Hinchcliffe, they're like, he was runner-up on Dancing with the Stars, and they did not mention that Elio won Dancing with the Stars. And I was like, God damn it, people. Why do you...
He's gonna throw so much stuff.
He's thrown another helmet back there. Please stop.
Please stop.
Also, the announcer for the first about 5 minutes... kept pronouncing Sebastian Saavedra's last name wrong. And I was really upset. And at one point, it got a little quiet. I turned around towards where he would be and just yelled out, it's pronounced Saavedra!
What did he say?
Oh, it was Saavedra, like a B showed up at one point in his name. Like, there's one in Sebastian, but it's Saavedra. And he was like, Saavedra. And I was like, nope. No.
Well, I will say, to be fair, that a lot of like Spanish speaking countries pronounce V's as B's. So I don't know who the announcer was, but
I have no idea.
Sometimes that's a valid interchange.
I think you would have been about as pissed as I was at that point, though, because it wasn't the same consistent mispronunciation. It was a different one.
He was like trying out a new one every time to see what stuck.
I'm thinking somebody finally was like, "Look, you idiot! It's pronounced Saavedra."
Right. Okay.
And by the way, both he and Marco got lapped a few times at this race.
Yeah, they did.
And I was like,
well, and you know, Saavedra is not even racing with SPM the next two races.
No, it's Harvey.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And we'll see who comes in on 2018.
Right.
I've still got
I think SPM should pick up Rossi and Davison.
That would be great. If he's running three, at least do Hinch and Rossi and Davison either full-time or part-time. Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
I think that would be a great, great choice for them.
I would be down with it. 100%.
They would will it into existence.
I'm all about that. So,
let's talk about Elio stalling. So his last pick.
Yeah.
Which, something interesting that Paul Tracy pointed out is that, because the car stalls, like, as he's coming into the pit.
Uh-huh.
And so he gives up a hand sign to let them know that it had stalled.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody had already, so they, you know, were doing tires. So somebody had already gone to get the electric starter that they hook up in the back of the car.
Yeah.
And so he only lost, I mean, a minimal amount of time. I mean, that whole pit was like 8.5, 9 seconds, which is a long pit. But considering that he had to restart the car,
you know,
not that much time.
Yeah.
And so I mean, that's not a lot of time considering that they had to restart his car. And Paul Tracy even said that he has lost 50 seconds on a pit in that scenario because the car stalls and then the next person, you know, and then they're scrambling around trying to get the electric starter and, you know, get it hooked up and do all that. And then it can be, you know, just this situation of just anarchy. Mm-hmm. And so he said, as far as, you know, having your worst case scenario happen in a pit, he was like, that was run so smoothly that even though it stalled, he was like, that was impressive. That was impressive to see from his team. And so, I mean, that just gives credit to what a great pit crew Alio has.
Which, yeah.
I mean, his pit crew has won the pit stop challenge on Car Day for the Indy 500 multiple years.
Yeah, it's a good crew.
Oh, they are fast. Which, who did win the pit stop challenge?
Tony's did. TK.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and then Max had a really good, quick pit crew, and I think probably then Dixon did as well. Yeah, I think Chip Ganassi had a really good one this year.
Yeah, they typically...
Sorry.
They come out pretty hard usually on their pits.
Yeah.
I mean, Dixon's pits are always fast, so... But yeah, so as far as his car stalling, I mean, that definitely cost him some spots in the race, but it could have been a hell of a lot worse.
Definitely. I will tell you that overall, this race was at... And I know that some people out there have already kind of tweeted out that they were unhappy with it. I don't know why.
What? Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm going to see why, because... It was, I texted you, it was so loud and everything, like, it was short enough of a track that there was consistent action.
Yeah.
We've not been to Iowa, and I listened to Iowa, I didn't watch Iowa, but I'm sure Iowa is quicker. But this one, you could follow the action, you weren't just sitting there almost overwhelmed, you could see him hit the corners, the back stretch, and come back around, and kind of trace who was trying to pass who that whole race, but it was consistent action.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, I think I sent you the clip. All you heard were the cars and the crowd.
Yeah.
Like,
which is just awesome. So I'm surprised that people said they were upset, because every time they showed the crowd, I saw so many people on their feet throughout the entire race.
Yes. Oh, yeah. The crowd around us was definitely into it. I mean, the few, and it's minor complaints. Like, one, the food vendors were overwhelmed.
Oh, I saw that on Twitter. I saw multiple tweets and pictures saying, like, they were not prepared for this crowd.
They weren't.
The lines were crazy.
Yeah, it was their first one, so I'm kind of going to give them that a little bit. Now, they probably should have prepped a bit more. I mean, we waited in line, because it's a light, you know, gates open at 11, so we were there from 11 a.m. till about 12 a.m., 12:31. So we did the full 12. And we grabbed food about 5:36, because at that point we're like, let's get our food, you know, get to the seats and watch everything. Well, we waited in line for probably a good 20 minutes.
Which, I mean, with a big crowd, that's not awful.
It's not awful, and I think part of it was they expected a big crowd. I don't think they expected this big of a crowd, because I believe they almost did, if they did not, sell out.
Yeah, well, and what I was going to say is that they probably... You know, because you have to book your vendors in advance.
Yes.
And, like, you and Audie knew you were going, but you didn't buy tickets until just a few weeks ago.
Right.
And so I bet that you're not the only people that did that.
Yeah.
In fact, I would put money on that.
I know many people who bought they set up for camping and then went and bought their ticket.
Yeah, and so I think that it was, you know, this being the first year back since 2003.
Yeah.
That... You know, they didn't know what to expect, and so they kind of did the best they could with the data they had.
Sure.
Which, you know, when you're planning out vendors a month, 6-8 weeks in advance,
you
know, they probably had adequate vendors for the amount of tickets they had sold at that time. And
100%.
Then I would bet you the ticket sold probably doubled.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's just hard to find vendors and find mm-hmm. people to work vendor stations. I mean, it's not just about having enough vendors, it's also, you know, enough places where you can buy food.
Yeah.
It's also having people work those stations.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it's growing pains.
I agree.
I mean, the other slight issue was they didn't have the signage. And I think, and Audie and I kind of talked about this, and she mentions it as well in the interview that I'll insert at some point here. We're spoiled by the IMS. Let's put that out there first.
We are. Well, and also, you know, honest to God, I don't even know how good the signage is at the IMS because I never pay attention to the signs because I've been going to that track
sure.
since elementary school. Right. And so I have never in my life looked at a sign except to look at which section we're at to see if it's time to go up in our seats. I really don't even have to do that.
I mean, we had, because we had the passes and we were going and we were meeting people in the infield at different hours of the day. And so that it took us the first time a good kind of like 10 to 20 minutes to figure out where did we need to go to get to the infield, because it was at one end, but there wasn't a sign anywhere else that said, hey, you idiots, this is how you get to the infield.
Gotcha. Whereas I will say, we do have big yellow tunnels that say walk tunnel,
right,
infield with an arrow.
And again,
but yeah, as far as the other signage, I mean, there's nothing that says like first turn, second turn.
No.
So because they pretty much assume that you know.
Yeah. And again, it's not anything major. And I think this is just stuff they're going to work on. And I'm sure next year they'll probably have it down pat. And I'll say we did wait till Victory Lane presentation, because I was like, well, let's wait. It's a larger crowd. By the time it was over, we got to our car. We didn't have any problem getting out.
See, that's why we always wait at the Indy 500 too. Yeah. Like, why am I going to rush out and get bottlenecked on Georgetown Road?
Yeah.
I want to watch Victory, the Victory Celebration. I want to watch Victory Lane. I want the Winner's Circle. I want to do all that anyway. Yeah. And then I get to avoid, 60% of the people.
Yeah. It was fine. I know some people were complaining about waiting in traffic. Well, you're going to wait in traffic if you leave a big event with everybody else. Like, I'm sorry. That's how it goes. That's the rules.
And that's not exclusive to racing. That's any big event. Have you ever been to a concert ever in your entire life?
Like, I mean, let's talk about getting out of Klipsch. I'd rather slit my wrists than leave Klipsch on time.
That's why I camp. I don't even care if it's a one-night show. I will camp so that I can just go back to my campsite, walk leisurely, have a few drinks, have a fire, and then leave the next morning of my own accord. Like, I will camp for any show at Klipsch because unless I'm not driving. If somebody's driving me, sure, whatever.
Right.
I don't care.
It's fine. You do you.
But if I'm driving, I'm camping. I'm not leaving that night.
But we had no issues. They had traffic down pretty well. And, I mean, I tweeted out, I saw a couple of IMS blower trucks on the track. And I'm hopeful that the Bomarito people kind of contacted our track and said, hey, guys, what do you do? Because, the IMS has that down to a science.
Oh, yeah, they do.
It's a well-oiled machine, and that speaks to my OCD heart when that happens. So,
absolutely.
It was done. Absolutely. It was done very well. And I will say that Indiana fans came and brought it at this race.
Yeah, it seemed like there were a ton of Indiana fans over there.
And at one point, the announcers, when they're getting the crowd all jazzed up, they're like, we have a big crowd here. Let's, who's from, and they listed out, Michigan, which I was like, no, bro, nobody from Michigan's going to make, no, but whatever. No.
No.
No. And they did Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, and then they said St. Louis. And I will say that Indiana was the loudest, probably second to St. Louis. And I was like, of course Indiana fans are here. First of all, it's not that long of a drive if you're coming from Indy.
No.
And, I mean, our fans are the very strong fans when it comes to IndyCar. And I think, we saw, hey, this is inaugural. Let's go. Let's support this race.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, we're all about being a part of something from the ground level.
Yeah. So it was, I was very proud of everybody from Indiana there. I was like, hell yeah, we're here. We showed up.
Yeah, you're like, we came to play.
We rolled out like a really strong gang.
Oh, I loved the tweet with that gif from Scrubs.
Yes.
Rolling up to the Bomarito 500.
I feel like that's how everybody from Indiana were like, we're here to enjoy some races. Let's see how this goes. Let's go.
Let's do it.
And I will add, so my final thought on the race. So this was my first night race. It's really pretty at night.
Mm-hmm.
It's so pretty.
Oh my gosh. It was pretty on TV too.
Oh, I bet it was. In person, it was almost kind of magical when they hit that back stretch because it was lit up and it had the Verizon IndyCar there and you could just see the car stream across it. And I was like, this is gorgeous.
That's awesome.
Gorgeous. So,
yeah, I can't wait to see it live next year. I'll tell you what else I enjoyed.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Bomarito.
Yeah.
Oh, on the track.
Mm-hmm.
When he called all the racers to start their engines, he said, gentlemen, start your engines.
I knew you were going to love that.
And I was like, you're damn right.
There is
a pageantry to this. Thank you very much.
It was. And we were able to see driver's introductions from where we were sitting. And I was like, this is going to be good. I'm excited to come back to this race already next year. Like,
that's
I'm already
awesome.
There. It's already happening. Like, we'll leave Thursday night so we can hit all of Friday stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, so real quick, you got a point for Newgarden.
That was it, and I should have picked him for one. I mean,
I know.
Yeah, Will getting out, I was like, damn it, I am so screwed on points this week.
Well, I thought I was going to be screwed for a while, because, you know, Rossi was close, but I was like, shit, about halfway through, I was like, he's not going to get first, so I'm fucked.
You know, and I wanted him to be in the top five because that was my bet. But then I realized he was sixth and Connor was fifth. And I was like, sorry, Rossi, I'm not even rooting for you right now.
I did the exact same thing. When that happened, I was like, nope, Connor's getting in the top five and I'm done. This is who I'm rooting for. I was screaming every single time he passed me. Mm. Like, especially after Campbell, I was like, fuck, pass him!
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, nope, sorry, Rossi. Connor is way more exciting.
But I did get a point for Connor because I picked him top 10.
You did. And since TK was the first wreck, you get a point for that.
So now I have 2 points. I don't have the board in front of me, but I know you're still whooping me, so.
Well, good, because I have not the last 2 weeks. And then Audie got 2 points.
She got 2 points. She got a Newgarden point and a Rossi point. And somehow that's upsetting to me that she got points on both of our... like, two of our favorite drivers. Like, your favorite driver and one of my top drivers.
I know.
She's got that weird voodoo magic. I don't know.
She does.
So.
I don't know what it is.
Well, speaking of her, I interviewed her briefly as we were driving back, which is super safe, but it's fine. So I asked her a few questions, and I'll kind of put that in here for everybody to hear. This was her second race ever. She went with the 500... this year with us, first time ever, and then this was her first road course, her first night course, and I think she hung out pretty well, and she's got some really good insights, so it'll be great to hear. So here's a listen. We are in my car driving down the highway from the race, the Bomarito 500. I am with Audie, who we have called our Rookie of the Year, and this was her first race on the road, so she has been a trooper this weekend with me and is going to answer just a few short questions about the race and her experience. So first question first, overall, what would you say about the race?
Well, I really enjoyed myself. I think, I mean, it's not as fun as, you know, the Indy 500.
Great answer.
But for my second race overall, I mean, it was good.
Good.
It was a good time. And there was the crowds were crazy, and it was, you know, overall, weather was beautiful. We got to seriously walk down pit lane. I mean, it was cool.
Awesome. So let's see, before the race, you made your picks. So let's run through those real quick. So you picked Will Power to come in first. And
yes.
That did not happen.
It did not happen.
No, because of that insane crash. And then, let's see, you had Joseph Newgarden for top five.
Yep, and he got first place.
He got first place, so you get a point. You had Alexander Rossi for top 10, and he came in ninth, so you got 2 points.
Whoop, whoop.
And then, for some reason, you decided to put some evil on Scott Dixon and said he would crash out first.
I know. I mean, between him and Kimball, I wasn't sure, so I just picked... got, you know, just for the heck of it, but
you didn't get any points for that one.
No.
He actually came in second.
I know. He did a really good job, so I can't discredit him. So
this being your second race, first race on the road, would you go to more IndyCar races knowing that you'd have to probably make a 3 or 4 hour drive?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
I think, you know, the experience overall is, you know, getting together with people who share the same passion and who just love the sport, and I think that just that overall energy is just awesome. So yeah, I would totally make a weekend of it, a week trip of it. It's definitely a lot of fun. It's not just the race, but it's everything leading up to it, so it's overall a good experience.
Okay, last question, and we have to always ask this question because where we're based. Compare and contrast the track, so the track meaning IMS, to Gateway Motorsports.
Overall, so it's a lot smaller. I think the perks of that, we were able to see literally the whole track.
Yeah.
Which was pretty sweet. But, you know, there were some issues just with, you know, how they set up everything. It's not as smooth as IMS.
Sure.
They have some things that they need to work on overall, just with setting, you know, how they set things up before the race, during the race, and after the race. But I will say that it was for my first nighttime race, it was beautiful.
Oh, it was awesome.
It was super, super cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I would definitely like to go and see more night races for sure.
Well, awesome.
So, yeah.
I told you it would be quick and painless.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Again, big thanks for coming with me because, well, I'm a bit of a handful at races and you stuck with us, so we're going to make you come to more races. That's what's going to happen.
I will definitely be there.
Awesome. Shit, we
didn't make up.
Well, it's hard to do when we're not in the same room, everybody.
Yeah, I didn't hear any honk.
So,
The rookie stripe,
which everybody kind of talks about it, especially if you say, you know, you're bringing somebody to a race, it's their first time, and they make a joke about a rookie. It's an honest-to-God rule.
It is.
4.5.3.10.1, and I'm already upset about their numbering system of rules, but...
Oh, I know.
Rookies have to have a fluorescent stripe on their car.
This is true. This is a rule that I was already aware of that I thoroughly enjoy.
I love it because when we were sitting watching tech inspections, Ed Jones's car came up, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, there it is, the rookie stripe.
And I'll tell you what I liken it to is the little magnetic thing on the side of a car that says student driver.
That's exactly it. I mean, when they say fluorescent stripe,
oh, you can see it from space.
You could not be any more brighter than that. And I almost had to leave because I was laughing so hard. I was like, and I pointed it right out to Audie and I was like, there, do you see the yellow? And she goes, oh, I see it. I was like, it's the rookie stripe. So
yeah,
which I think people should have in a lot of different places in their lives. If you're a rookie, let people know, you know.
Yeah,
like the people who, like, if they're teaching their kid how to drive and they put something on the car, like, I'm teaching my kid how to drive. Great, I won't flip them off for going 30 miles slower than everybody else. I get it.
See, I think of it as a, like, stay the hell away.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're doing yet.
Which makes it even more hilarious that that's what they do with honest-to-God race cars.
I mean, it really is hysterical.
They're basically saying, this guy's going to crash at some point. Maybe you should give him a little bit wider of a berth. Like, don't pass him on the inside like you would somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Anyway, that shit we didn't make up. The rookie stripe is real. It's hilarious if you see it in person. And it is...
Student driving.
Student drivers.
Not just for amateurs.
That's great. So, let's talk a little bit about the silly season, because... something hit the news yesterday.
Yeah.
It's not been fully confirmed, but everybody, like AutoWeek, Racer.com, the IndyStar, I think, is probably going to get it, picked up that Sato is going back to Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan Racing.
Yeah, they actually talked about that yesterday a little bit before
the
race.
Oh, cool.
They did, and it's not... It doesn't mean that it's confirmed that Andretti's going to Chevy, but it's a good indicator. But also, Sato is, you know, his contract's up this year.
That's true. I will say, though, in an AutoWeek article that I read, it talked about one of AutoWeek's sources, or was another IndyCar team owner, who indicated they were told by Sato and his agent that they, being Sato, an agent, were convinced that the switch to Chevy is coming.
I don't doubt that. I think it probably is coming, but I don't know that is 100% the reason for Sato's switch.
That's true.
I think he also just might have been happier at Ray Hall Letterman.
Lanigan.
Well, yeah. I mean, now it's Lanigan. I think it was just Ray Hall Letterman when he was there.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, again, like we talked about, you know, with Rossi moving to a smaller team where he's going to have more hands-on coaching and such, I think Asato might feel the same way because he's going to go to a team that's half the size. Because right now, RHR, or not RHR, board.
RLL.
Yeah, there we go. Rahal, you know, he's the only driver on RLL. So, yeah. So, yeah, so Sato going there would double the size of the team, and so Sato would have, you know, just a little more personal coaching and strategizing, and so I think that it's probably a combination of a couple things.
Yeah. But again, you know, we're still waiting on the announcement, and you know, it's Michael Andretti is the only one who fucking knows, and he's not going to say anything until he's good and ready.
Hell no.
But I did read again. I think this was Auto Week as well. I don't know. I got an Auto Week kick. That so I guess somebody got a hold of Rossi's contract, and there is a clause that he can get out of Andretti if they leave Honda.
Oh.
Yeah. Now the article.
Well, good for him for putting that in.
Yeah, the article called it an escape clause, which makes me want to cringe. But whatever, it's not an escape clause. He's not being held captive. But
yeah,
it's in there.
Well, I don't, you know, we've never been on the Andretti team. We don't know what it's like there.
God only knows. It's weird cult of really good jawlines, though. Really, really. You know how I'm a sucker for a jawline.
I know you are.
It's like crack to me.
I know.
Like crack. But one wrinkle is the Napa Auto Parts contract.
Oh. Napa's, because are they married with Andretti?
Well, rumor is that Andretti's trying to get them to be married with him.
But if they're not already married and they married Rossi first, then I don't think that should be an issue legally.
Right.
Am I wrong? Am I speaking out of turn there? Or?
No. I mean, my thought is if Napa is smart, they're waiting until that announcement about the engine is made.
Agreed.
So,
because the thing is, Rossi has been a great partner for them for sponsorship.
Yeah,
he's been a great driver, and he's going to continue to get better.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's only his second season, and so I think Napa would be smarter to stick with Rossi as opposed to stick with Andretti Autosport.
100% agree with that. 100% agree.
I mean, because you've got RHR. Mm-hmm. Sato's leaving, Rossi's leaving, and then you got Marco. And so RHR, you know, is basically married to DHL.
Yeah, and I think...
And then you got Marco, who just isn't that great of a driver. you know, Napa doesn't really have anywhere to go. It's like Napa Auto Parts. Well, you don't want auto parts being linked to a driver that sucks at driving.
No.
You know, like, that just doesn't make any sense. Why would you do that to yourself?
No, not at all.
The answer is you wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
So, I would put money on the fact that, regardless of anything else, that Napa stays with Rossi. Period.
I mean, not having seen the contracts, but that's almost like one of those things, if they change engine manufacturers and Rossi, you know, is leaving because of that, I'm sure Napa's contract, if they have one right now, already has that clause in it.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure they can afford some pretty good lawyers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just more chatter this weekend, too, about if Pensy's going to let Elio go or not.
Which, I mean, I think that he will still have a spot in the 500 for a long time to come.
100% agree with that.
Pretty much as long as he can run it or until he wins his fourth.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And then retires himself completely, you know, and he's given very, you know, PC answers anytime he's been interviewed and asked about it.
Yeah, I mean,
because I don't think that he's really done driving, but at the same time, he might be done driving full time. Like, he might be ready to hang up the full time gig because it is very taxing. I mean, the season is long and you are busy and away from home.
Yeah.
For most of it.
I mean, TK had this is, you know, just an Instagram post, but his Instagram post for, like, this week, he said, you know, he's here in Indy. Today he was, like, out biking. Tomorrow he has a simulator. He's leaving to go spend, like, a day with his family, and then, like, Wednesday on, he's in New York.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about other professional sports, you know, that's not the case because, like, you have a professional basketball or football team or whatever. Well, they live in whatever city they're playing in.
Yeah.
And half of their games are in that city.
Yeah.
The other half are out of town, but still half of your games are
right
in
there.
The city you live in.
Right.
Whereas with racing, maybe one race is in the city you live in. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Maybe. Depends.
Yeah. Out of a season that starts in March and goes, a 6-month long season, so half the year.
Yeah.
You might have one race that's in your hometown, which if you live in Indianapolis works out well because you spend the whole month of May. You actually have two races and you spend the whole month of May in Indianapolis.
Right.
But everywhere else, not the case.
Yeah. So maybe. I mean, and, you know, there's always just the thought of, is he really going down to three cars? And is this really the decision he's going to make? And, you know, I remember talking with a bunch of people, like, how do you make that call? And you and I talked about it before. How do you look at the four on Penske and make that call? So, I don't know.
Which I would bet that Roger Penske, I mean, with the close relationship that he and Elio have had and continue to have, I would bet that that's probably a conversation that they have had in private of, like, hey, I think I might go down to three cars. I mean, hell, it could have been a conversation that they had, you know, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And he was like, let me know when, you know, if and when you don't want to run full time. There'll always be a spot for you at the Indy 500.
Yeah.
But, you know, blah, blah. So, I mean, that may be something, that may be something that they've already discussed in the past.
Yeah.
That, you know, that we're just not privy to.
Yeah, 100% agree, so.
And so that might be why Elio is so diplomatic about that. but yeah, that may be why, sorry, I had to buy a Limerita.
That's fine.
I ran out of wine. but that might be why he was so diplomatic in his answers, is that maybe this isn't a decision that is completely from Roger Penske.
That's true. I mean, we just don't know the background in Team Penske. So.
We don't. But I would assume that somebody who's been on a team that long.
Yeah, it's not going to be a, like,
would,
pick up your,
you know,
shit and leave.
They've got a good rapport. They've got respect for one another.
Yeah.
You know, same as if you're, you know, if you have a job for, you know, years and years and years, you know, you love your job and you have gotten along really well with your manager or supervisor or whatever.
Yeah.
You're not just going to leave and give the standard 2 weeks. Like, if you see the writings on the wall, you're going to say, hey, just a heads up.
Yeah.
You know, within 6 months, I'm probably going to go somewhere else in case you wanted to bring somebody in for me to train. You know, that's what a normal, decent person would do.
Yeah.
In a good situation.
Certainly.
If it's a bad job, well, then screw them.
Well, you know, that happens. So.
I mean, I've done that.
So that was some chatter just around the track this weekend again. Penske came back up. I mean, everybody's just waiting. I think Andretti Autosport's switch is going to be the domino that sets everything off.
I agree.
And so we're waiting.
I agree with that. And I'd love to see Rossi go to SPM.
If that happens, I will lose my goddamn mind.
Oh.
I'll have to leave work is what's going to happen.
Yeah, you absolutely would have to leave work. You wouldn't be able to function.
Only to go buy all of the SPM stuff I can.
Right.
I will show up looking like a NASCAR.
Yeah, you will.
So.
Yeah, you will.
I hope he goes there. I think it's a good fit for him anyway. Well, that's my thought.
I think it would be. I think it would be a great fit for him. Same as I think Sato's going to do well with Ray Hall, Letterman, Lanigan.
Yeah, I think so. I'm excited for these.
Oh, I was just saying, I think that Graham Ray Hall and Takuma Sato both are good teammates to have.
Yeah. Oh,
definitely. I think both of them are good team players. I think they're both competitive. But I think that the two of them have different strengths and weaknesses, and that they could learn a lot from one another by being on the same team.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, I think they're both very good drivers, but, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always more you can learn.
All righty. Well, let's see. Okay, so Sunday, it's the Indy GP at the Glen.
Mm-hmm.
It's, we are done with ovals, and I'm really upset about that.
We are, which is just unfortunate.
It is. I'm just heartbroken. But I got to see the last one.
We're winding down. We only got two more races.
Got this one, and then I think we get a week, and then Sonoma.
Yeah.
So it's winding down. I'm a little sad.
It is. In fact, I was so giddy watching the Bomarito that I literally looked, and I was like, "How long is it to drive to Watkins Glen?"
Oh no!
Because I was like, "Okay." I was like, "It's at 1:30 on Sunday." I was like, "We have Monday off." Da da da. It's like 9 hours and change, and I was like. I mean, I want you to know that I was on the website and, like, had two tickets in the cart.
I mean, if you would have called and said, we're going, I'd have been like, all right, let's do this.
Right? Like, I had two tickets in the cart, and I was like, okay, you are just going to be getting back from vacation Friday night.
Oh,
and then you're going to get up Saturday morning and drive 9 hours to New York, go to a race, and then drive 9 hours back. No, you're not.
Plus,
you're not. And then you're going to start a new job? No.
And I've also heard that it's, like, hard to find accommodations around there.
Well, we were going to camp.
I mean, we're definitely going, but not this year.
Not this year, no.
So, So there's a bunch of turns in it. I think 5, 6, and 7 are kind of some flowy turns. I think that's where the action's going to go down.
It's a long course.
It's a long course. I just closed my window with all the information on it because I'm a professional.
I actually did a little research on it this week.
Look at you.
I know, because you usually do the research, and I actually did some research on it this week. How funny is that?
I am so impressed and proud of you right now.
I know. Well, I felt like I should do something. all right. So Formula One actually started racing at Watkins Glen in 1961 for the first Watkins Glen U.S. Grand Prix.
Huh.
It was the beginning of what would become a tradition at the circuit through 1980. So 20 different races.
Wow. You know,
the math is 19 years, but it's 20 races.
Okay.
Innes Ireland won the inaugural running.
Okay.
With drivers such as Jim Clark, Graham Hill, Jackie Stewart, Niki Lauda, Emerson Fittipaldi, and James Hunt among the winners of the Grand Prix.
Cool.
In 2004, the Verizon IndyCar Series announced that it would compete on historic 3.4-mile, 11-turn-long course at Watkins Glen International on September 25th, 2005. The circuit includes the boot, which is part of the traditional Grand Prix circuit, and Scott Dixon won the first Verizon IndyCar Series event at the track, the first of three straight wins at the track for the Target Chip Ganassi racing driver. So 2005, 2006, and 2007, he won. Let's see. And he donated his laurel wreath from Victory Lane to the nearby Seneca Lodge to hang among the wreaths from the previous race winners of Watkins Glen, a tradition that dates to the United States Grand Prix Formula One event.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and then Justin Wilson claimed the first ever win for Dale Coyne Racing at the track when he won the race in 2009.
Yeah.
Which, I know we just remember Justin because it was his birthday recently. And
actually, 2 weeks ago now? No, a week ago now was kind of, I don't know what to call it as far as an anniversary.
His death-iversary,
yes. So it's been 2 years.
Speaking on behalf of me and my other friends with dead parents, we call that the death-iversary.
Thank you. I wasn't sure of the proper term. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just what we decided to go with because, you know, it's like, you don't want to call it their death day.
No, that seems weird.
You know, it's like, it's not, I mean, it is their death day, but it's like, okay, you celebrate your birthday, but it's like, it's their death-iversary.
Okay.
Because you're not necessarily celebrating that they died.
It's
like
just
you do a birthday,
but
you're remembering the fact that this is when they died and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. So,
yeah.
I mean, and that's just, I mean, I don't remember which one of us said it first, but we started saying it, and death-iversary just kind of works because when you hear it, you're like, oh, yeah, I know what that is.
I know
that
what makes it means.
Sense.
Yeah.
Whereas when you say death day, that just sounds dark and macabre.
Yeah, it does mean. I don't enjoy, but I appreciate the term death-iversary.
Yeah, death-iversary. So, yeah, it was just his death-iversary.
Yes,
so,
it was.
Yeah, and there was lots of Justin Wilson love all over Twitter this week. Which,
good guy.
Yeah, he was a good guy.
Yeah, he was.
He was. And, of course, you know, we love Stefan Wilson as well.
I absolutely adore Stefan, so what can I say?
He just seems, and I know you've met him, I have
not,
but he just seems so down-to-earth and approachable.
He
and
really
just,
is.
Yeah, and just fun. I mean, and I feel the same way about Connor Daly, and we've met him on multiple occasions. You know, it's just like, he just seems like that kind of guy that if you wanted to, like, walk up and give him a hug, that he would totally just bear hug you right back.
Yeah. Which, you know, we're huggers.
I feel the same way about Stefan Wilson.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, definitely.
Which I believe your mom did hug him multiple times when she met him.
Well, you know, mom sensed a wounded child and went into mom mode, and I was like, well, this is happening.
Well, that's also just your mom.
I mean, Teresa Helliker will hug you.
She's a hugger.
If you look at her and you will say hi, she'll be like, hug, and I was like, great. I mean, I actually pick it up from her as well. Like, when I was meeting people over this weekend, I hugged them, and I was like, well, this is happening. Just hug them.
Right?
So it happens.
I know. I go back and forth. It
depends.
Kind of depends. Like, there are certain situations where I'm more of a hugger than others, but
yeah.
But no, your mom's definitely a hugger. Like,
oh, yeah.
She'll meet you for the first time, talk to you for 5 minutes, like, and she might, like, shake your hand going in, but coming out. If you have had more than a 30-second conversation with Teresa,
you're getting hugged. Yep. Just let it happen.
Bring it on in for the real thing.
Just let it happen. Just let it happen.
Right? You're not going to get out of it. Trust me on that.
No.
Believe that. Okay?
A lot of people have tried.
Up a Teresa Hilliker hug.
A lot of people have tried. All have failed.
All.
Oh. Well, last year.
She bets 1,000.
She does.
Hugs.
She does. Dixon won it last year, too, though, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. And he set a new track record.
Really?
Yeah, from what I could gather. A minute 22, 5, 2, 9. Why do I have an hour? Well, I can't type, obviously.
No, you've got 1 minute 22
5, 2,
seconds.
Yeah.
5, 2, 5, 9, yeah.
Yeah, there it is. So that was the new track record he set in 2016. And also, nice. As we talked about in 2016, Connor came in fourth.
Fucking A, he did.
So I'm excited. All right, you want to make your predictions? You ready for it?
I'm ready.
All right, what do you got?
Well, I'm going with my boy for first.
I almost went ahead and put him in.
I know. You already know. Well, I mean, you know, sometimes I mix it up. But
you do.
I'm telling you what, especially after this weekend.
Yeah.
And again, like I said earlier, you know, just because I've been such a New Garden fan since he was a noob,
yeah.
You know, since he was just brand new, and I am just loving seeing him have such a good season.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I just love everything about it. So I'm going to say New Garden for first.
Okay.
Top five, I'm going to say Dixon.
Okay.
Because I know that he's still... Won some championship points.
Yeah,
although, I see you've got Pageant over top five, and I'm considering that. I think it'll be interesting to see the on-track interaction between Pageant and Newgarden. If they qualify near each other, they might take each other out.
We could have a shit show if they are two or three or even one and two. Like, it's gonna happen.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. And then top ten, I'm gonna say Connor.
Yep.
As well.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
And then first out, you know what? Let me go back. Let's see. The Bramarito. Let's see who is.
Well.
All right. So, actually, I think Bourdais is going to do well on this race as well because the G-forces are going to be shared since there's right-to-left turns. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not putting him in a bet just because.
No.
But I think he's going to. I mean, not that he did poorly this last race, but I think that, I mean, he didn't do poorly at all. He finished 10th for his first race back after a massive crash.
Fantastic.
But I think that it's going to be an easier race on him physically.
Yeah.
Because you don't hit those speeds, you don't have the same G-forces, and, you know, it's shared.
Yeah.
You know, if you've ever sprained an ankle or, you know, something where you have to overcompensate by the other side, like, then you end up having pain on that other side from over excessive usage.
Yeah.
So I bet his neck is sore as hell this week. So hopefully he's seeing a massage therapist.
Yeah.
Mine's available. She's great.
There you go.
And she's an organ donor.
Awesome.
So, you know, I'm going to say, I would say Paris Hilton, but I really enjoyed the sass that he gave his team this week.
Like,
so I don't really want to put that evil on him.
I don't either. I was thinking about
that
and I was like, no, can't do that.
Yeah. I'm going to say Piggott.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's about a 50-50 chance with him.
Right.
I had Dixon just because he's been doing really well this year. He's done extremely well on this track.
He has. I mean, he's won four times.
Yeah.
Three in a row.
And then last year.
5, 6, and 7. And then last year. So.
If he doesn't come in top three, I will be shocked. But I really
agreed.
Feel like. I really
completely
feel,
agreed.
Really feel like he's first. I did pick Pagano for fifth, and I think it's similar to what you and I kind of talked about. I think Newgarden and Pagano are going to fight this whole race.
I think so. Well, and I think Pagano is a little angry now.
I think he's got a little bit of that anger, and we talked about sometimes a little anger helps you.
Yeah, sometimes it pushes you
a little
to a new place. So
I mean, I've embraced it.
It challenges you, gets your adrenaline up, gets your endorphins up, and...
I mean,
you can do a little more.
We met him at the Mid-Ohio where they had the Star Wars theme, so I'm going to go ahead and say it again. Pagano, embrace the dark side. Just let it go, bro. Just let it go. and I'm with you. I think Connor's going to do top 10. I think he's going to rebound very well after a top 5. I don't know if I see him top 5. I will, of course, lose my shit if he's top 5.
Mm-hmm.
But I see him coming top 10.
I actually do see him as a probable top 5.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to depend on quals and, you know, just kind of other circumstances. So that's why I went with the safer top 10 bet. Because, I mean, he got fifth this last weekend. And so, you know, he's got a high coming off of that. I mean, how could you not?
Who wouldn't?
And then he got fourth at this race last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he obviously knows how to maneuver this track and how to run it well.
100% agree. Yeah.
I would say he's a probable top five.
Oh, yeah. But the car is that wild card.
I've lost the last 2 weeks, so I got to play it safe with my points.
I get that. And then I picked Marco for first out. He had a horrible showing this week. Usually, somebody has a bad showing, then they try and overcompensate, and that's when mistakes happen. All right.
We shall see. Well, the current championship standings.
Oh, yeah. How we got?
So, Newgarden is still in first with 547 points.
Yep.
Which, by the way, he has had 4 wins this season.
Wow, look
at that. His career wins prior to the season were 3, so he has now surpassed his career wins in one season at Penske.
Good for him.
Good for him, indeed. Number 2 is Scott Dixon with 516, so that's a difference of 31 points.
Mm-hmm.
3rd is Alio at 505, who is 11 points behind Dixon. 4th is Pagano at 504, so he is 43 points behind the leader, which is nothing, really. 5th is Will Power at 464.
Yeah, he really got knocked out because of his crash.
Yeah, he did. And then 6th is Graham Rahal at 436. 7th is Rossi, 422. Then Sato at 410. Kanaan in 9th at 365. And Hinchcliffe in 10th at 351.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a pretty tight race between 1 and 4.
Oh, it is. I mean, a difference of 43 points.
And Sonoma's a double point race, so.
It is. It is. So it's almost like they have 3 races left, but really just 2. Just 2. Yeah. Right. So yeah, I think Sonoma is going to be just an all-out shit show. Because
I cannot wait.
I mean, I think that they're so close. And the thing is, with these top 4 drivers, and even top 5, you know, you've got Power, Pagano, Castro Neves, Dixon, and Newgarden.
Yeah.
And they have all obviously had a solid season. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in the top 5. But
yeah.
You know, they're great drivers. They're very competitive. They're driven. They're focused. And I think even no matter who wins at the Glen, I think the championship could still go to anybody because they are so close. And I think that we're going to see that at the Glen, and then even more so at Sonoma.
100%.
That it is just going to be, I mean, just balls to the wall racing the way it should be.
Oh, I agree with you 100% on that one. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great race to watch.
Yeah, it's going to be a good couple of final races, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think Watkins Glen is going to be great to watch as well, because obviously nobody's going to go in there and half-ass it. I mean, it's the first to last race of the season, but.
Sure.
But yeah, I think that, you know, even if they don't do as well as they want to on this one, I think that everybody is just going to pull out all the stops for Sonoma.
Yeah, definitely agree with you on that one.
All right. Well,
that's white flag.
That sums it up. We covered the Bomarito.
We did.
We've got our interview with the Rookie of the Year, and I'm glad that she could represent the blonde half of Best Cars, Best Girls.
I had another blonde with me, so I felt somewhat at home.
I know. I felt like I was somewhat represented. I was okay, well, at least she's a blonde. So maybe if people were too drunk to remember meeting you guys, when they see me, they'll be like, oh, that blonde, that's right, and they'll think it was me.
Yeah, there you go.
And our names both start with A's, so, you know, whatever.
And she's Audie, and you're Abby. It's close enough, really.
Right, Audie, Abby. Well, and she's awesome.
Yeah, she is.
You know what? I wouldn't ever be upset for getting mistaken for Audie.
No, nobody should. No. And she's down with coming to more races with us next year, and I was like, well, it's on now.
It's on now.
So.
Yeah, no, I love Audie. I'm so glad we got her. I'm so glad we gave her the IndyCar bug.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, right. It's like a drug. Your first race is free.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. And then we covered our fun
rookie
student
stripe.
Driver.
Yep.
Yep, the rookie stripe student driver.
We talked about
silly season.
Yep. And we talked about the Glen.
And the Glen. So I think that's about it.
I think white flag,
any final thoughts?
Hey, we had some more people listen to us when I checked. So if you're a new listener, welcome, welcome, welcome. Let us know what you think.
Absolutely. Make sure you subscribe and rate us on iTunes, because that helps us out a ton.
Yeah, it does. It definitely.
To get new listeners. And please follow us on social media, because we want to increase our followers. So make sure you're hitting up our Twitter. It's FastCarsN317, and that's IN.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're adults and we spell out words. On Instagram, it's Fast Cars, Fast Girls.
Yep.
And then if you want to message us directly, it is FastCarsFastGirls317@gmail.com.
And we also have a Facebook page.
We do, and it is Fast Cars, Fast Girls. Spaces between them on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
And make sure you type out the whole thing, because there's other options like Fast Cars, Faster Women, blah, blah, blah.
That's not us. No.
You'll know it's us because we have the same picture as our main picture on all of our social media as we do on the podcast. It's our our cover artwork or whatever.
There you go. That works for me.
So yeah, it's easy to find. Well, I will say my final thought. The thing that I enjoyed the most about Connor screaming over the radio when Kimball cut him off was that one of the announcers said, well, this Irish-American just let his Irish son show.
And
I was like, yes!
I appreciate you sending that to me because... You know, we've got Irish in us. I'm Scotch Irish, you're Irish, and we really...
I'm Irish and Scotch Irish.
There you go. We embrace that temper, and sometimes you just have to.
We've said many times on this show that we wear our hearts on our sleeve, and it's nature versus nurture. I don't know, because we were raised by Irish parents, so... No.
You decide.
Can't have one without the other. I don't know. Chicken or the egg.
Yeah.
So we embraced that. We were like, yeah, let that Irish out, Connor.
Yeah.
Let it out.
Yeah. So good on him. Good on him.
Good on him.
Well, all right. Hey, you have a really great vacation.
All right. Let's wave the checkered flag on that.
Thanks for
listening.
That was my final thought, was have a great vacation. But now we can wave the checkered flag.
Well, thank you.
All right.
I appreciate that. All right. Let's wave the checkered flag on that. Thanks for listening.